Good morning, girls and boys. We're turning to our chapter in Hebrews, that is chapter 11, and I want to read the verse 24 to you. Verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. The last time I was with you, we began the section of Hebrews 11 that deals with Moses. He, unlike others, has more than one verse allocated to him. The life of Moses was a most important life. He was a most important man. Remember, he lived some 3,500 years ago. And here are we talking about him. And he lived in a land hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles away from here. Yet here we are talking about him. That shows how important a man he was. God has kept his name alive and given to us a record of what he did and said, because the life of Moses contains much instruction for us. So here we come to the second verse of the series of verses that deals with Moses. It says he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And even as I looked at the verse to read it to you, my mind focused on that one word, refuse. And before I get to what I had already prepared, a comment or two on this one word. Boys and girls, there are things in life that you will have to refuse, say no to. That's all part of being a Christian. If you follow the Lord, there's things you'll have to accept from him, yes, and agree to, and yield and surrender to. But there will be things you'll have to turn your back on and say no. Sometimes that's the hardest word for a Christian to say. There is that set before us which we want, but which we must say no. You bear that in mind. Well, let's look at the verse in its entirety. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. This was a key moment in the life of Moses. The previous verse tells us about how he was preserved from death by the actions of his parents, particularly his mother, when she made the little ark, put him in it, hid him in the reeds, rather than give him up to death as Pharaoh had commanded, for all the boys born to the Jews were to be killed. But Moses' mother was a woman of faith, as was his father, but I think the emphasis in the Bible is upon the actions of his mother, because mothers play such an important role in homes and in the lives of children. But that was all the part played by parents in the life of Moses. Now we come in this verse to where he begins to act for himself. He makes decisions now. And there'll come that time for you too, boys and girls. At your age, most of the decisions are made for you. But there comes a time when you'll have to step out, and the decisions made in your life will be your responsibility. And the consequences of those decisions will come on your head, be it good or evil. So here is Moses at a key time in his life. He was come to years, and he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'll start with this thought, the greatness of his decision. This was a great decision he made. It changed the rest of his life. It changed the direction of the nation of Israel. And it has had an influence on millions of people since the time recorded here. What Moses did had an impact on millions. It has had an impact on me and teachers here, people in the congregation, and Free Presbyterians across the country. And I hope it will have an impact on your life as you consider the greatness of his decision. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now that was a costly decision, a very costly decision. He gave up a very, very great deal when he made this decision. He was considered the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I think it's well known that he was not actually an Egyptian. But nevertheless, he lived like a prince being in the royal household, within the royal family, he had all the privileges that we can only begin to imagine. But he gave it all up, turned his back on it. He refused. It wasn't taken from him. He surrendered it himself. He came to the decision himself. It was a costly decision. I'd say what's more, it was a controversial decision. Now you know what that word controversy means. It means something that causes great debate, causes people to be startled and concerned and upset, questioning. Why? Well, this decision by Moses would have done that. There would have been plenty to say, did you hear what Moses has done? The decision he has come to. I can't believe it. He has said he doesn't want to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter anymore. What's wrong with his head? That would have definitely been said. There would have been whisperings around the royal court saying, do you know, Moses has gone mad. Did you hear what he's done? I have no doubt that that was the sort of talk was going on, because this was a most controversial thing. Listen, boys and girls, there will be decisions you will have to take that will set people talking about you and saying unkind things, untrue things about you. You only have to think of the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus, you remember, preached in the synagogue in Nazareth, his hometown, what he said was so controversial, they took hold of him and were rushing him to the cliff that is there on the edge of the town to throw him out over it and kill him. But of course, you can't do that with the Son of God. And he wonderfully, miraculously, just removed himself from them. I've often thought about that. Just you think about it. How that there he was in the hands of these evil men, and they were rushing him for the cliff. And suddenly, where'd he go? Have you not got a hold of him? I thought I had a hold of him. You can imagine that. But that's what happened. That's what happened. Controversy created by the words of the Lord Jesus, what he said. And there will be times when you, if you are faithful to the Lord and obey his word, you will be the subject of controversy. Just like Moses here, because what Moses was doing was of God. But it was a controversial decision that he makes. He was identifying himself with the most despised people in the land of Egypt. The Jew was a slave, counted as nothing, so considered to be nothing that the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, thought it was all right to say, kill all the boys that are born. The way someone would swat a fly because it was annoying them. Well, Pharaoh was killing the boys of the Jewish people because he considered them to be a threat. And then here was Moses throwing off, as it were, his royal robes and saying, I don't want to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'm identifying myself with those slaves out there. A Christian identifies himself, herself, with the Lord Jesus, the most despised person in the history of mankind. There's a lot of talk today about anti-Jewish hatred. And do you know why the Jew is hated? Because he's linked with God. Now the Jew, generally speaking, has turned his back on God and doesn't believe what the Bible tells us about God. But in the eyes of the world, he is, of a people, linked to God. And consequently, he's hated. He's hated because of that. And the Christian is someone who is hated because of those he is associated with and because of the one he loves and follows and seeks to obey, even the Lord Jesus. It was a crucial decision. That is, it was an important decision. A lot depended upon this decision made by Moses. The outcome of it was to have an impact upon many people, not just himself, but the people of Israel, the millions of Israelites who lived in Egypt as slaves. What Moses was deciding would have a great impact on them, even though the day Moses made the decision, out there among the Israelites, they knew nothing about it. It was a decision made by Moses in private, in the household of Pharaoh, but it had an impact upon all the Jews eventually. when it became known that this is what he had decided. And of course it has flowed on throughout the ages, as I've already stated. What Moses did has had an impact on you, and I hope it will have, through our study this morning, have a further impact upon you. That you recognize what he did was right, and that what he did is something you should do. That's the impact that this decision had. The second thing I want to have you think about is the reason for his decision. Why did Moses do this? That's a question was asked repeatedly in the palace in Egypt. What has he done this for? Why has Moses made this decision? Well, I think the verse tells us here, and we've got to look at it closely. Always do that. Always do that. You know, when you're eating some food, you don't just cut up the meat, stick your fork in it, put the lump of meat in your mouth and swallow it. You don't do that. Oh, you say, yes, I swallow it. But you do something to it before you swallow it. Chew it up. And that's how we should come to read the Bible. Chew over what you're reading. Don't just go past it. Read the words, let them appear in your mind for a second and go on to the next. No, you stop and you chew over what is said. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. There was a change came into the heart and life of Moses. For years, he had been more than happy to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He enjoyed those privileges. I can imagine as a teenager how much he enjoyed being a prince of Egypt. All the servants that were there, ready to jump at the snap of his fingers. The richness that he had at his disposal. But there came a change of heart. He no longer looked upon being the son of Pharaoh's daughter as the best possible path to follow in life. It says, by faith, Moses. Ah, that helps us understand. Why did you do this, Moses? By faith. There was awoken within my heart a faith, a believing in God, an understanding of God's purpose and will, and a readiness to submit to it. In Acts chapter 7, verse 23, Stephen, the first Christian martyr, is speaking, he's given an account of what it is he believes to the religious leaders in Jerusalem, and he speaks about Moses. And in the verse 23 of Acts chapter 7, it says, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Think on that. Just look at those words and chew over them. It came into his heart, something that hadn't been in his heart before, to visit his brethren. That's what came into his heart. He had looked upon the household of Pharaoh. They're my people, this is my family. But then under the grace of God, one day he said, no, the royal family's not my family, but out there, those slaves, they're my people. It came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. He said, I belong to the offspring of Jacob. I'm one of the chosen people. That's the change. That's what prompted this decision by him. An awakening by the grace of God. His heart was changed. His understanding of things was changed. He came to believe God's revelation of himself and his purpose for Israel and the place that God had for him, Moses, in that plan. That's what happens when you become a Christian. I was writing an article just yesterday in which, for a sentence or two, I was remarking upon the fact that 60 years ago, at the beginning of this month, April, which is just ending, 60 years ago I was converted. And my life changed. Changed in a fashion, boys and girls, I can't possibly explain to you. If you knew the men with whom I worked in Ulster Television, they might be able to tell you something about the change. Because, you see, I went home on a Friday night after work, and I come back on Monday morning, and I was a new person. Far removed from the person I had been the week before. And those men knew it. Those men saw it. And they certainly heard it, because I began to speak about the change that God had brought into my life. So it was with Moses. He was given a new heart. That's what conversion is. Some verses from Ezekiel chapter 36, the verse 26. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, a soft heart, rather than a stony heart. Has this happened to you? Has it? Because you're not going to heaven unless that has happened. Unless you have the experience of which God here in Ezekiel chapter 36 and the verse 26 is speaking about, a new heart. Only those who have been given a new heart by God get to heaven. The Lord Jesus said the same thing in a slightly different fashion. He said you must be born again. You can't get to heaven unless you're born again. And undoubtedly that was the experience in the life of Moses that brought about this decision. That was the reason for it. He was made to realize, I'm not an Egyptian. I'm a child of God. I'm a brother to those Israelites out there toiling as slaves in the fields of Egypt. And that being the case, I'm identifying myself with them. I no longer want people to think of me as an Egyptian prince. I want them to think of me as an Israelite. That's what the Christian is. Someone who declares, in one way or another, I'm not what I was. I don't belong to the world. I belong to the Savior. I might just say while we're on this topic, very quickly, what happened to Moses is a picture of what will happen to the Jewish people in the world today, just before the Lord Jesus comes. The Jewish people today have no time for the Lord Jesus. They reject him utterly, utterly. There are many of them won't even say his name, won't even utter the name Jesus. They hate that name, and they hate all that is taught about him in the Gospels. They have rejected him. Like Moses, they're living as Egyptians. But as there was a change came into Moses so that he ceased to be an Egyptian and identified with Israel, so one day the Jews who today reject Christ will have a change wrought in them, and they will look on him whom they have pierced and rejected with love and affection, and they will repent of all they have ever done against him. That day is coming. So that you have, in what happened to Moses and that which followed the decision he made, a wonderful picture of the future. It's a prophetic picture of what will happen one day to the Jewish people. The last thing I want to say very quickly is this, the time of his decision. By faith Moses, when he was come to years. Now, again in Acts chapter 7, we're told his age when this happened. When he was full 40 years old. The number 40 in the Bible has a special significance. It speaks of fullness. It speaks of a completeness of time. Generations are usually measured in 40 years, so that you have a full generation under the term of 40 years. So Moses had reached maturity. He wasn't a young fella who made a decision today and forgot about it tomorrow. This was a measured, carefully thought out decision. As the text says, when he was come to years. Those who study the language of Greek and are very well skilled in it tell us that the phrase means when he was great. It reached fullness, greatness. This helps us to see the significance of Moses' decision. He made it when he was in a position to enjoy all the splendors of Egypt. He wasn't a boy that would have been under some measure of authority within the court, doing at least something of what it was he was told to do, but now he had reached a position where he could speak and people obeyed him. That's when he made this decision, when he was great. There is a similarity to that time in the life of Moses to the time when the devil led the Lord Jesus into the wilderness to tempt him. The Savior had reached maturity. He was 30 years of age, full grown, and the devil tempted him. Fall down and worship me, and I can give you all the kingdoms of the earth and what's in them. I give them to you if you fall down and worship. And in a sense, that's what faced Moses. The chances are, since we don't read of any other members in the household of Pharaoh, the chances are Moses was going to be the next Pharaoh. All that Egypt had would be his. That's likely the case. And as the devil presented before the Savior the kingdoms of the earth and all that was in them, and said, if you worship me, you'll have them. Well, in the same way, facing Moses with the possibility of enjoying all that was in Egypt. But like the Savior, he turned it down. I don't want to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And the Lord Jesus said, we're to worship the Lord our God and none other, none other. So, the time of his decision, when he was great, when he was 40 years of age, then true faith entails the utter forsaking of all that the world offers to us. You can't be a Christian and take what the world offers. You must turn your back upon it. I might say, referring again to the devil's temptation, that was a lie on the part of the devil. He didn't own the kingdom of the world. He couldn't give the kingdoms of the world to anybody. What he was setting before the Savior was a lie and a fraud. You will face temptations. Oh, here's what you can have if you follow sin. But it's a lie. It's a lie. There's no good comes from following sin. The Lord Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Nothing. Nothing. No gain. Boys and girls, there is no time when the world appears more appealing than that time when the Lord begins to awaken us to our need of salvation. Oh, that's when the devil rushes in. The night I was saved, when God first spoke to me, through a verse in Genesis chapter 6, my spirit shall not always strive with man. And that's what God spoke to me through. And as soon as he spoke to me, the devil rushed in. And he said, don't you listen. What are you going to do? Don't you go to the dances? Don't you go to the pub? Don't you go to parties? Don't you run around with a crowd and enjoy yourself? All that will end. And you'll not have such pleasure. You'll have a life of dullness. The devil rushed in at the very moment God was urging upon me to come to Christ. And for a moment or two, I believed the devil. I remember in my heart saying, oh, I couldn't get saved. And I felt a great coldness coming upon my heart. And instantly I knew, I have done the wrong thing. And I cried out and I said, oh God, speak to me again. And in kindness God did, and set before me the way of salvation. And I rushed upstairs in that house in which I was staying at that time, and fell down on my knees, and though I knew so little of the gospel, I asked the Lord to save me. Oh, there's no time when the devil is more active than that time when God begins to speak to us and urge upon us repentance. The verse 25, and of course we'll come to that the next time I'm with you, has a very important little statement, boys and girls. Look at the verse 25, the next verse. The pleasures of sin, they're only for a season. They only last a little while. God teaches us that, you know. I could show you a lesson from God given to us today if you were to come with me into my garden. Because littered all over the garden and all over the path and right round to our back door are the petals of the cherry tree. And it's only a week or so ago that they began to appear. Beautiful, yes. Sweet smelling, yes. But they don't last long. The daffodils, all gone. The bluebells are in the woods at the minute. But give it a week or so and they'll all be gone. God repeats that lesson for us in nature. The pleasures of sin, they're only for a season, boys and girls. But what God bestows when we trust Christ is everlasting life. Make the right choice. Learn from old Moses and declare yourself amongst the people of God and reject the world, no matter what it offers. Let's bow in prayer. Bless your word to the boys and girls, Lord. Only by thy Holy Spirit can their hearts be made to recognize and realize the truth of what has been said today from thy word. Work that grace in their lives. Bless our school. Take care of every matter, remembering those that have been prayed for in the opening prayer. For Jesus' sake, amen. Amen.